The first thing I like to say is there's so much riches in the ministry that every point that we cover, or in this training, every psalm that we cover, it's in so much depth and with so much riches. I think of some of the meetings with some places in Christianity. They would just have a few small points and then, you know, half an hour, an hour. But for us, every message is 3 pages or 5 pages, and there seems to be no end. There's so many points. That's because the ministry is rich. I remember Psalm 132, it says, you shall abundantly bless them with provision. When the Lord blesses us, then there's a lot of provision, a lot of food. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, this afternoon we come to message 7, which is Christ as the cornerstone. Again, it is a very rich message, and we'll try to see the significance of Christ as our cornerstone. First, I'd like all of us to read together the text, which is Psalm 118. And we'll start reading from verse 22 all the way to the end. Let's read it together. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is from Jehovah. It is wonderful in our sight. This is the day that Jehovah has made. Let us exult and rejoice in it. O Jehovah, you say, we pray. O Jehovah, do send prosperity, we pray. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. We bless you from the house of Jehovah. Jehovah is God, and he has given us life. To the horns of the oak, you are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his loving kindness is forever. Okay, let's look at this text a little bit more in detail. Verse 22 says, the stone. Well, this is the first time it mentioned about the stone in this psalm. Previous to that, it was talking about the Lord's loving kindness and giving thanks to the Lord. Then out of a sudden, it says, the stone which the builders rejected. The stone that, of course, refers to Christ. Christ, the stone, was being rejected by the builders. Who are the builders? The Lord himself, he applied that when he was in his last week in Jerusalem. And Brother Ed covered that. That he applied that to the Jews. The Jews, they ought to be the builders. And instead of receiving and accepting the stone, they rejected the stone. Now, in saying that they are the builders, it means that they are building something. They are building something, except what they built, Christ doesn't fit in. And so they rejected it. So in a sense, I can say that for all of us, that if you apply that to a wider sense, that whatever you're building, if it is not for God's building, then Christ doesn't fit in. Now, some of us have our own building projects. You may have be building your own career. And you may try as hard as you can, and you try to fit it in. Eventually, if your career is for God's building, then it would fit. And when it fits, it becomes the cornerstone. But sometimes when we're having our project, it doesn't fit. And then we have to reject it. And the world, they have many, many projects. Of course, the Jews, they were building something. They were building the Jewish religion. And in that religion, Christ doesn't fit. So they rejected it. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Amen. This is from Jehovah. It is wonderful in our sight. Let's say that together. This is from Jehovah. It is wonderful in our sight. You know, sometimes you see some brother and some sister coming together in a wonderful way, and you say, oh, this is from Jehovah. It is wonderful in our sight. Or sometimes you see wonderful baby born, and then you say, oh, this is from Jehovah. It is wonderful in our sight. Well, all those are quite wonderful. But that's not the application here. The application here is that what is from Jehovah? The fact that the stone that has been rejected has become the head of the corner. This is from Jehovah. Amen. And this is wonderful in our sight. And then after that, it says, this is the day that Jehovah has made. Let us exult and rejoice in it. Amen. This is the day. What day? What day? The day that the rejected stone has been chosen to become the head of the corner. That is the day. That is the resurrection day. The day that the Lord resurrected. That is the day that we should rejoice. And the Brother Nee had a message in the New Believer series where he talked about the Lord's Day. And he said, why is the Lord's Day so significant? And he quoted here, because this is the day that the Lord himself has established. And it's so important that it's being called in the New Testament the Lord's Day. And it's so significant for us New Testament believers that it replaces the Old Testament Sabbath. You know, the Old Testament, that God ordained that there would only be one day to, we should only remember one day, which is the Sabbath day. But then in the New Testament, when we move into the New Testament economy, there is another day. And what is that day? That day is to celebrate the Lord Jesus being the cornerstone. There is not a day to celebrate the Lord as the Lamb or the Lord as food or the Lord as light, but there is one day in the Bible that says that you should celebrate this day because this is the day that the Lord has made. Isn't that significant? Amen. Then in the next verse it says, O Jehovah, do save. Now if you read the footnote, that word do save is Hosanna. And that is the verse that was quoted by the people when they welcomed the Lord into Jerusalem. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And then in verse 26, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. That is what the Lord himself halted at the end of his debate with the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests in Matthew chapter 22. You know, it's very, very significant, and I'll come to that in a minute, that in the last week that the Lord entered Jerusalem, it began with Psalm 118, and it ended his debate with Psalm 118. It started out when he was riding on the donkey from Bethphage into Jerusalem. The people were quoting Psalm 118. And then he had, he entered into Jerusalem, and then he had his first salvo with the religious people and chased out all the people from the temple. And then he started the second day with his debate. You know, Brother Ed mentioned about all those debates, five debates, if you read the outline of the Recovered Version. And in those debates, in the first debate, the Lord quoted Psalm 18 again. He was talking about the parable of the vine dresser. And there was a owner of the vine, and he hires some vine dressers, and then he sent his son, and then they killed the son, and then eventually he took the vineyard from the vine dressers and gave them to others, leased them to others. And then right after that he quoted Psalm 18. He said, the stone that the builders have rejected, in other words, you have now become the head of the corner. So this is very significant. You may say that the whole time that the Lord was there in Matthew chapter 21 and chapter 22, in his final week in engaging and debating, taking care of his mission of being tested, in his mind was Psalm 18. In his mind was Psalm 18. And then he debated, and then he talked, and then he dialogued with all these, until in the last debate, you know, he made the challenge. And Ed referred to that where he quoted Psalm 110. He said, whose son is he? David, he is the son of David, yet David called him Lord, and they have nothing more to say. And then he said, and then he talked about how the temple would be abandoned. And then he said, until you would say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. In other words, when the Lord was seeing that scene, that situation, he was seeing on the one hand a whole group of people, the Jews, they ought to be the builders, they rejected the Lord. But yet, at the same time, the Lord himself has become the cornerstone. Amen. Okay, let me say this, that the Bible shows us that God has two works in this universe, the work of creation and the work of building. It begins the work of creation in Genesis chapter 1, and it ends with the completion of the work of building. The work of creation only took 7 days, and then throughout the rest of the Bible, it is the work of creation. The work of building. Until at the end of the Bible, you complete it. That work is completed. That is the New Jerusalem. Now Christ, he occupies a pivotal place in these two works. In the first work, of course, he was the creator. Well, everybody knows how important it is that Christ is the creator. But in the second work, which is more important than the first work, because the first work only set the stage for the second work. He also takes a preeminent place as what? As the cornerstone. So if you look at it from this way, you will see how significant the matter of the cornerstone is. In the first work, he was only the creator. In the second work, if he is the creator in the first work, he ought to be the builder in the second work. But no, he's not the builder, but he is part of the building. In the first work, he is not part of the creation. The creation is created out of him. But in the second work, he is part of the work itself. Now, don't you think that that is very, very significant? That Christ is not only the builder of the house, which he is, but he is also the very building itself as the cornerstone. Just to impress you how significant this matter of the cornerstone is, and this is all taken from the ministry, and a lot of that are in the outlines. I would like to point out the significance or the place of Christ as the cornerstone in six areas. First, when you compare Psalm 118 with the rest of the Psalms, you will see the place of Christ being revealed as the cornerstone and how important it is. In the last message, we have the highest revelation of Christ, which is Psalm 110. Now, in that psalm, Christ is unveiled. First as the king, then as the priest, and then as the warrior, then as the victor, and then finally as the drinker. Well, that's wonderful. That's the highest revelation concerning Christ. So what else? Well, there's one thing more, and that is Psalm 118. It reveals Christ in his relationship to the building. Now, book 5 of the book of Psalms begins with 110, and it only has two psalms that talks about Christ. That's 110 and 118. After 118, there is 119. That's on the Word, and we'll have that tonight. And then after that, we have 15 songs of ascent, and then after that, 5 songs of hallelujahs, praising. And so, tonight, we're coming to the consummation of what Christ is in the book of Psalms. And what is this consummation? The consummation is that Christ is the cornerstone. That's the consummation of the revelation concerning Christ. Without this, the revelation of Christ is not complete. Yes, Christ is all these wonderful items that were revealed in the other Psalms, and in particular in Psalm 110. But we need to see Christ as the chief cornerstone in order to complete the entire revelation concerning the book of Psalms. Isn't that something? That's the first thing I want to point out to you about the significance of Christ as the cornerstone. The second thing I want to point out to you concerning how significant Christ is as the cornerstone is that I mentioned that already. And we'll have some of that in the outline. And that is, in the last discourse, you may say, or speaking of Christ, in his last week in Jerusalem, his mind was on himself being the cornerstone. It's almost like the whole last week was a play out of Psalm 118. Starting out with people crying Hosanna, ending up with Christ's conclusion in his debate with the religionists, that you're not going to see me until you will say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, of Jehovah. I try to count. You know, in the first message, we said Luke chapter 24, the Lord was expounding to the two persons walking on the way to Emmaus how the law and the prophets and the Psalms were spoken concerning him. And so I was thinking, well, what was the Lord thinking about when he said the psalm was talking about him? What psalms were he thinking about? And I tried to count, and I counted at least 8 times, maybe there are more, where the Lord himself directly quoted the psalms. And here's the thing. Listen, of those 8 times, at least 2 times are quoted from Psalm 118. At least twice. Well, one is in Matthew chapter 21, where he applied it to the Jews. The second one was at the end of his dialogue with the religionists when he says, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So this is a very significant part in the Lord's heart about what the psalm is talking about concerning him. We'll have more of that when we come to the matter of the book of Matthew in point number 4. So that's the second thing I want to point out concerning the significance of Christ as the cornerstone. The third thing, and this is very new to me, and that is Ephesians chapter 2 culminates in the cornerstone. We know what Ephesians chapter 2 talks about. It talks about us being dead in sin and trespasses, and that we're being raised up together with Christ, and that we're being seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, and that he has made us his masterpiece, and that through the cross he has annulled all the ordinances which is against us, and that he becomes our peace, and in so doing, he has made the Jews and the Gentiles together with Christ himself as the cornerstone. And then he mentioned that the apostles and the prophets, that they were the prophet. Now, all of that, what is the goal? The goal is that the Lord would have a habitation, that he would have a habitation in spirit. In order for him to have a habitation in spirit, we are being resurrected with Christ. In order for him to have a habitation, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In order for him to have a habitation, we have become the masterpiece of God. In order for him to have a habitation, Christ has become our peace and become the gospel. In order for him to have a habitation, he has given us the apostles and the prophets. In order for him to have a habitation, he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together. In order so that he would have the habitation. And in this habitation, the most important factor, the building factor, is what? It is the cornerstone. So you may say that it is for the sake of him being the cornerstone that we're resurrected together with him. It is for the sake of him being the cornerstone that he becomes the ascended one so that we can ascend with him. It is for the sake of him being the cornerstone that he has made us the masterpiece of God. And it is for the sake of him being the cornerstone that he has become peace. In other words, everything that the Lord has gone through culminates or summarizes and concludes in the fact that he is the cornerstone for God's habitation.
Amen.
That's the very important point. That's the very, very important point. He is all-inclusive. He is the centrality of God's move so that, eventually, he would be qualified. If he does not die, if he did not resurrect, if he did not ascend, he would not be qualified to be that cornerstone, that chief building block for God's building.
Amen.
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 So if you have to celebrate, you have to celebrate Christ as cornerstone.
Amen.
Now that's only the third significance. The fourth significance, Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, what was the gospel message? The gospel message was Christ as the cornerstone. That was the gospel. And he said, the stone that the builders have rejected, you can read it, has become the head of the corner. And then right after that, he said, in no other name is there salvation. It is in him. Salvation is in this one. In other words, salvation issues from, originates from, Christ as the universal cornerstone. If you have the cornerstone, you have the gospel. If you have the cornerstone, you have salvation. Now Christ has become the cornerstone. Call on him.
Amen.
That's why in a few places, Brother Lee says, he is called the stone savior.
Amen.
Not just the lamb savior, but the stone savior. That's number four. And then number five. I'm still on the significance of the cornerstone in God's economy. Number five. Peter, in his old age, he quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, Christ himself is the stone. And we, as living stones, are being built together. First, Christ himself is the stone. Now, in 1 Peter, we become the stones. He duplicated himself so that we become duplicates of what he is for what? For the building of God.
Amen.
I'd like to point out one verse that in message one, Brother Ed, he mentioned in passing. It's actually in the outline. When he mentioned about Psalm 73, he said, my heart fails, but God is the rock of my heart. You know, if you have a heart failure, take Christ. He is the rock in your heart. And then in the reference, in the quotes in the reference, there's this one, which is Deuteronomy chapter 32. And there, God is called the rock that begets us. I said, wow. This rock is the rock that begets us, that regenerates us. We have not only a strengthening rock, a supporting rock, we have a begetting rock. So 1 Peter, first this rock, he is precious, he is preciousness. He begets us to become living stones so that we can become transformed to be built up as a holy priesthood for service. In other words, Christ as the cornerstone is related to our organic salvation, including our regeneration, our transformation, and our service in the Lord's economy. Isn't that significant? Then lastly, Christ as the cornerstone is referenced and is implied in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension at Pentecost, and at His second coming. In His death, because He was rejected. In His resurrection, because this is the day that the Lord has made. In His ascension, it's because this stone has been laid and set in Zion. Now, if you read carefully, Psalm 118 doesn't mention Zion. But in Isaiah 28, it says, this tested, precious stone has been set on Zion. Where is Zion? Zion is the highest place in the universe. That means when Christ was being rejected, God chose Him in His resurrection and in His ascension to be the cornerstone of God's building. And then, it has to do with Pentecost, because at Pentecost, Christ Himself is being presented as the cornerstone that the Old Testament priest, they rejected. The whole, it's over with the Old Testament economy, and it ushers in the New Testament economy. And then, at His second coming, He will be the cornerstone that will be welcome. And people will say, blessed is He who comes in the name of Jehovah. So those six areas, I hope to help you. Most of the points are in the outlines. But I hope that it will help you to focus on the very significance of Christ as the very cornerstone in God's building. Okay, with that, we can come to the outline. Roman numeral 1. Christ is not only the Lamb for redemption, He is also the stone for God's building. We all love Christ as being the Lamb. Well, the Lamb is for you. Whereas Christ as the stone is for God. So Christ is not just a Lamb for our redemption, but He is a stone for God's building. Do you know why this ministry has so much riches open up? That is because most Christians, when they read it just for themselves. They don't read it in God's view. They don't read it with God's heart in mind. But this ministry, when it opens up the Word, it opens up with God's mind, with God's view, with God's intention in mind. And so, of course, God writes it. That's why there's so much riches there. When you only understand the Bible according to what you need, then all you appreciate is Him as the Lamb. Oh, Lamb of God, for me, for me. But when you read it in God's viewpoint, oh, He is the one that accomplishes God's economy for His building. He is the cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us exult and rejoice. See? Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. You know, Revelation chapter 4 and 5. It talks about the Lamb having the seven eyes. And then if you match that with Zechariah chapter 4, it says that the stone has the seven eyes, and those seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. And so you have the Lamb and you have the stone. Don't just celebrate the Lamb. Celebrate Him also as the stone.
Amen.
He is the Lion, Lamb, Stone.
Amen.
Stone being the final one. And then, of course, in Revelation chapter 21, you have the Lamb on the throne. But the issue of this lamb on the throne is the building, which is Christ being the stone. And the one that is on the throne is in the appearance of stone, the jasper. And you have that point there too. Okay, Roman numeral 2. In the Bible, Christ is revealed as at least 9 kinds of stones. He is the eternal rock, the foundation stone, the living stone, the cornerstone, the precious stone,
amen,
the top stone,
amen,
the cleft rock,
amen,
the crushing stone,
amen,
and the stone of stumbling.
Amen.
All inclusive. Actually, let me just point out this to you. Christ as the cornerstone includes him as the foundation stone and the top stone. You say, where did you get that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 28, it says that the cornerstone is the foundation stone.
Amen.
And then, in Psalm 118, it says that this stone is the head. And in Zechariah, it says that top stone is the head. It's the same word in Hebrew. The head, the rosh. In other words, the cornerstone is the foundation. The cornerstone is the top stone. The cornerstone is everything. Wow, let's say hallelujah for the cornerstone. Hallelujah for the cornerstone. I hope now you appreciate it more. B, we need to experience Christ as a stone in all positive aspects. If we experience him in these aspects, we will have a complete building, a building that is actually Christ himself. You know, going back to Ed's message in message 1, I counted at least 10 things of what Christ is as a rock. He is the refuge rock, 18:2. He is the blessed rock, 18:46. He is the protecting rock, 31:2. He is the higher rock, 61:2. He is the unique rock, 61:6. He is the strengthening rock, 61:7. He is the habitation rock, 71:3. He is an unfailing rock, 73:26. He is the salvation rock, 89:26 and 95:1. And he is the trusting rock, 94:22. How about that? How about that for your experience? Christ as a rock is for your refuge, to bless you, to protect you, as the higher one, as the unique one, as the strengthening one, as the habitation, as your salvation, as the one you trust in.
Amen.
Okay, all right, we need to experience all of these positive aspects.
Amen.
Roman numeral 3. In Psalm 118, 22 to 26, Christ is revealed as the cornerstone. A, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. The head, the rosh, the top. This stone is Christ, who is for God's building. He has to be the preeminent one. That's why he died, that's why he resurrected, that's why he ascended, that's why he was on the throne, so that he would be the preeminent one. The builders are the Jewish leaders who should have been working on God's building. They were builders, but they were not working on God's building. They were working on other buildings. When the Jewish builders, they rejected Christ throughout this piece because it doesn't fit in with their program and their system, They rejected him as the cornerstone, the one who would join the Gentiles to them into a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, 20 to 22. We covered that already. That is the goal, the ultimate, the consummate point of Ephesians chapter 2. For in Ephesians 2:20, we see Christ as the cornerstone that joins together the two walls, one wall being the Jewish believers and the other wall being the Gentile believers. Christ as the cornerstone is the joining factor of these two blocks. One, the Jewish block, the other is the Gentile block. Without Christ, we can never be one with the Jews, and the Jews would never be one with you. Well, it's not just the Jews as a people, it's the whole Jewish culture, and by extension, the whole Old Testament economy. Christ is the one that joins two cultures, two people, two economy, and even two ministry, because Peter is the ministry of the Jews, and Paul is the ministry to the Gentiles. He is the joining factor, the blending factor, the building factor of all the ministries, of all the races, of all the people, of all the culture, and all of God's economy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! How about that? There is one place in the ministry that says, as the foundations, he extends horizontally. As the cornerstone, he extends vertically. I don't know how that happens. Maybe that cornerstone is so big that it extends all the way to the rooftop. But anyway, that's what it says. That as the foundation stone, he extends horizontally. As the cornerstones, he extends vertically. And then as the top stones, he caps everything. You don't have a place. Or you do have a place. You have a place in him. Our Christ is all-inclusive in God's building. Amen. Amen. So before this meeting, you may say, oh, Christ is a cornerstone that joins the Jews and the Gentiles. Yes, that is. But it includes more. He is the universal blending factor, building factor, propagating factor. Five, Christ as the cornerstone is for the building up of the church in the New Testament age. I wrote down five things here. I said Christ as the cornerstone implies, number one, his accomplishment. I mentioned that. His death, his resurrection, his ascension. As the cornerstone, he is the one that, the preeminent one that heads up all of those things. It is because he needs to be the cornerstone that he becomes all of that in his accomplishment. Number two, in our identification with him. Christ is the cornerstone implies that we are identified with him in his death, in his resurrection, in being his masterpiece. And then number three, Christ as the cornerstone implies his organic salvation. We covered that. Then Christ as the cornerstone implies blending. The blending between the Jews and the Gentiles, the two cultures, the two peoples, the two economies. Then Christ as the cornerstone implies his centrality in God's economy. All right. With that, let's go down to small point A. For the building up of the church as the temple of God, we need to experience Christ as the cornerstone. To God, Christ as the cornerstone is precious. To us, he is the preciousness. I hope after this meeting you feel that Christ as the cornerstone is much more precious to you. Of course, if you're a building of your own career, then maybe that doesn't fit into your scheme. But if you're for God's building, then He is preciousness itself. See, in Christ, the cornerstone, all the building, including both the Jewish and the Gentile believers, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, in Romans chapter 15, when Paul, he saw that, oh, the Jewish believers have come in, and the Gentile believers have come in, and they were exulting, and they were rejoicing in the Lord. He was uplifted. He was, oh, Gentiles, all nations, rejoice together with the people of God. You know what is that? That is celebrating Christ as the cornerstone. Joining all the people together. And that is the gospel. The gospel is that in Him, in this one, as the cornerstone, is salvation made available to all people. That whoever would call on Him should be saved. If you want to preach the gospel, preach this gospel. That's the gospel that Peter preached. I read that. Well, in point C, I want to underline this word. This building is growing. It is not just a static building. It is a growing building. As we preach the gospel, more people become stones, and this building grows. But it doesn't matter how much it grows, Christ will forever continue to become the cornerstone. Next point. This is the day that Jehovah has made. Let us exult and rejoice in it. What day? The Lord's Day. Young people, new believers, as Christians, we celebrate one day out of the week. That is not the Christian Sabbath. That is called the Lord's Day. Amen. And it is the mandate of God that we will set aside one day out of a week, just to remember Him as the cornerstone. Amen. As the one who has been rejected, but now who has been chosen, Amen. Who has resurrected, Amen. Who has ascended, Amen. Who has been set on Zion. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Amen. What do you do on Lord's Day?
Hallelujah.
It is so significant that it is significant to annul the Old Testament Sabbath. As New Testament believers, we don't celebrate the Old Testament Sabbath. You know, to the Jews, that is breaking the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is the keeping of the Sabbath. It's a big deal to try to not keep the Sabbath. But you know why? God instituted the Sabbath so that man would have one day out of 7 days of rest. Now God has a much more significant date. And that date is the Lord's resurrection as the cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now, you know how important the Lord's Day is. don't sleep in. Don't sleep in on the Lord's day. That is not your day. That is the Lord's day. Some people say, oh, Sunday is being instituted by Christianity. I tell you, the Lord's Day is instituted by Jehovah long before, in Psalm 118, before Christ was born. That day was being set apart already. Don't sleep in on Lord's Day. Come to the meeting. Rejoice with God's people. And don't only rejoice 2 hours and then afterwards go back and watch television or spend time with your family. That's a day for my family. That's the day for the Lord. I don't care what you do. You know, I don't care what you do. But on that day, you should remember the Lord. You can go out and you have time with your family, but it's to exult and rejoice in the Lord. You can spend time in your house and just resting from your after your 6 days of work, but it's not for yourself. It's for exulting and rejoicing in the Lord. Sanctify that day. The Lord's day. Watchman Nee said, if we would all sanctify one day out of that week, by the time that we live to 70 years old, we would have 10 years separated unto the Lord. How do you like in your whole life you have 10 years separated unto the Lord? Let's make a resolution. Give that day to the Lord. Last week, a brother came to me and he was sharing with me about the church life in his place. He said, in our place, Lord's Day is not just 2 hours. We just come together and then we just celebrate and then we have Lord's table and then after that we eat together. After we eat together, we don't want to go away. So some would be playing the guitar, some would be going to the kitchen to cook something, and then some would be just reading some words together, and then they would be enjoying so much, and then by the time it's 3 or 4 o'clock, they say, oh, let's go out and knock on doors, and then they go out and knock on doors, and they come back and they say, oh, it's about time for dinner, and then they cook together, and then after they cook together, they sing some more song. By the time they break up, it's 9 o'clock. The whole day is separated from the Lord. How about that? Now sometimes we say, oh, let's separate the Lord's Day evening for the Lord. You say, oh, no, no, no. I got 2 hours for the Lord already. 2 hours. As if you're just really doing the Lord a favor. Listen, your whole day should be for the Lord. I shouldn't belabor on this point, but I need to. Because this is honoring the Lord. You know, my wife came from a very devout family, and they, in that place, you go there on Lord's Day, all the liquor store, they close down and all those kind of things. You know, that is just outward. What we do is whatever we're doing on Lord's Day. Oh Lord, this is your day. Amen. Whatever I do, I can go out and hike with my family, or I can stay home and read some life study, but I want to sanctify this day to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I guess you got it. Would you make a resolution to sanctify that day to the Lord? Not just those 2 hours, but that whole day. Amen. This day is the day of Christ's resurrection. On the day of His resurrection, the Lord Jesus was made the cornerstone. Two, Christ was chosen by God in eternity past to be the cornerstone for God's spiritual building. First choosing. First time choosing. But there was another choosing. When He was made, when He was resurrected, He was chosen to be the head of the corner. However, the Jewish leader, as the builders, rejected Christ to the uttermost, to such an extent that they put him on the cross. They didn't choose it. You know, in Luke chapter 23, verse 35, those Jews, they ridicule the Lord on the cross. They said, let him save himself if he is the chosen one. In other words, they said, he's not the chosen one. They said, he's the rejected one. If he is the Messiah, let him, if he is the chosen one, let him save himself. Four. But God chose Christ. God chose Christ as the cornerstone a second time. First time before the foundation of the earth, second time in his resurrection. Thereby confirming his initial choosing in Christ in eternity past. Five. After God resurrected Christ, God uplifted him to the heavens in his ascension. Isaiah 28. He is set on Zion. Christ's ascension to Zion in the heavens was a further confirmation that God had chosen him to be the cornerstone. So he was chosen at resurrection. He was chosen in ascension. B. Both Christ's resurrection and ascension prove and confirm that he is the head of the corner for God's building. Something great happened at the time of resurrection and ascension. God made a declaration, I have chosen this one. I have chosen this one for God's building. See, as the all-inclusive stone, Christ is the centrality of God's move for the building up of his eternal habitation. We cover a little bit of that in Ephesians chapter 2. But here, let me give you six steps of his move and how that is all related to Christ being the cornerstone. His move in rejecting the Old Testament economy, number one. His move in bringing in the New Testament economy, number two. Number three, his move for the building of God's habitation. Number four, his move as the stone with seven eyes for God's final move on earth. Number five, his move as the smiting stone to bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. Then number six, his move as the consummating stone as jasper in the New Jerusalem. Amen. All of that, Christ takes the central place. He is the centrality in God's entire move. Amen. As the all-inclusive stone. Small point number one. Everything Christ is, everything he has done, everything that he is doing, are due to the fact that he is the cornerstone. Amen. Now I think you may appreciate what this is saying. Everything that he has done, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, everything, is so that, or due to the fact that, he is the cornerstone. Amen. He has to be the tested one. He has to be the precious one. Otherwise, that building will shake. That's why he has to die, resurrect, and ascend, and go through everything in his accomplishment. Two, it is by his being the cornerstone that he could die for us. That we could be crucified with him. That we could be made alive with him. Amen. That we can resurrect, that we are resurrected with him. Amen. And that we're seated with him in the heavenlies. Amen. And that he could save us. And that he could transform us into precious stone. And build us together to be God's habitation, God's unique temple in the universe. Amen. Yeah, I'll say wow to that. In God's New Testament economy, Christ as the cornerstone, in his saving us, first making us living stones for the building up of God's spiritual house, and then in the process of transforming us, building us up into a dwelling place of God, so that he may carry out God's eternal economy for God's good pleasure. You know, when we help the new ones. First, we preach the gospel to them. And then we help them to come to the Lord as living stones, to drink on the milk of the Word. And as they drink on the milk of the Word, then they get built up into the vital groups. And as they get built up, they're slowly getting transformed. And they get the feeding from the Word. And they get related. And they become the priesthood that will serve the Lord to tell forth the virtue of Christ. That's what we do in preaching the gospel, feeding the new ones, teaching them, and building them up. Begetting, nourishing, teaching, and building. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. That's the God-ordained way. Take Christ as the cornerstone to practice the God-ordained way. E. Prosperity in Psalm 118 typifies not material prosperity, but the heavenly, spiritual, and divine blessings given to us by the triune God, as described in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14, which come to us by Christ being the cornerstone. If Christ is not the cornerstone, there is no gospel. If Christ is not the cornerstone, there is no well-speaking. And there is no blessing from heavenly places. It is because Christ is the cornerstone that Jehovah bless you out of Zion, that you can be saved. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That's why in 118, Psalm 118 verse 25, it says, O Jehovah, Hosanna, O Jehovah, do send prosperity, blessing. God has blessed us from the heavenly places, of all heavenly blessings. Amen. Amen. Roman numeral 4. The whole book of Matthew is for the purpose that Christ would be the cornerstone for the building up of God's house. Now you understand why. Because, you know, the Lord came to Jerusalem the first time as the cornerstone. He will come to Jerusalem again the second time, and they will say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and who will come as the smiting stone and the stumbling stone. And they will say, Hosanna! And the king will come. But this time, it will not be on the donkey. It will be in glory. And he will take the whole earth. Just you wait. Amen. Hey, the Lord Jesus came not merely to be the Redeemer. He didn't come to Jerusalem just to be the Lamb, to be Redeemer. But he came announcing himself to be the cornerstone for God's building. And in quoting Psalm 118 in Matthew 21, the Lord Jesus added two more things. In Psalm 118, it only says that the stone which has been rejected by the builders has now become the head of the corner. The Lord himself added a commentary, and that he said this stone which is being rejected by the builders also will become the smiting stone, the crushing stone. Whoever falls on this stone, he will be broken into pieces. And whoever this stone falls upon will be crushed to powder and be blown off, scattered as chaff. In this one word, the Lord applied the stone to three types of people. To the believers, he is the cornerstone. To the Jews, he is the stumbling stone. And to the Gentiles, he will be the smiting stone. The big stone in Daniel chapter 2 that comes down and spike the human kingdom and become the big mountain. Crush everything. We'll see that. This is the consummation of Christ in Psalms. And tomorrow will be on the consummation of Zion. And then the last day will be on the consummation of the whole book of Psalms in praise.
Amen.
In taking the whole earth.
Amen.
We're in the stage of consummation.
Amen.
B. The Lord said He would build His church, but the religious ones rejected Him as the cornerstone for God's building, and thus they could not be a part of the building of God. If you're not for the building of God, any other building project, Christ doesn't fit in. But if you're for the building of God, Christ fit in perfectly. As revealed in the Gospel of Matthew, the Father's will is to build up the church with Christ as the rock and the cornerstone. One, the desire of God's heart is to have a dwelling place on earth constituted with Christ and according to Christ. Two, the Lord's word about a city situated upon a mountain indicates that God's intention is the building. You have that in Matthew 5. You have Matthew 16 too, where the Lord told Peter, "You are a stone, and upon this stone I will build my church." This is the line of the building throughout the book of Matthew. And then, you know, people don't realize it, when the Lord came to Jerusalem, He came as the stone. He came as the building stone. You know, he first talked about this parable of the vineyard, and in that He was saying, you guys should be building God's building, but instead you rejected the stone. So He quoted Psalm 118. And then thereafter, right after that, He had another parable, the parable of the big feast, the gospel feast. You know, first you have Christ presented as the stone. Then you have Christ presented as the gospel feast. He first became the stone. Then He became the Savior. He is the stone Savior. In Him is salvation. No others. No other name under the earth. A. The shining light, verse on Matthew 5, is not an individual believer. This light is a corporate city built as one entity to shine over the people surrounding it. B. In order to be a shining city, we must keep the oneness and be built up as the church, the body of Christ, in Christ as the cornerstone. I am so happy that I am in God's economy.
Amen.
I am in His building.
Amen.
I am not only a part of His first work in His creation as a created being, I am in His second work,
Amen.
Being regenerated,
Amen.
And now being built up as part of His building to consummate in His final building work. So last point, blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
The earth will hear this.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
You know, this is the Lord's last word to the Jews. After that, in Matthew chapter 20, the next part, he starts talking about Matthew 24:25 about, you know, the prophecies. This is the last word that the Lord gave to the Jews. A. The first time that Christ came in the name of Jehovah is mentioned in Matthew. However, he was rejected the first time. But listen, he will not be rejected the second time. He will not be rejected the second time. When he comes the second time, they will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When the Lord Jesus comes the second time, the Jews will again welcome him warmly with these words. Why again? Again, because the first time was in 1:18. The first time was not in Matthew. In Matthew, they were rejected. They rejected it. The Jews will again welcome him warmly with these words, "This is the time when all the remnant of Israel will turn and believe in him and be saved." Amen. In the meantime, every Lord's Day, we celebrate the Lord's victory. Amen. By being resurrected, ascended, to become the stone set on Zion. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us exult and rejoice in it. Amen. Hallelujah for Christ as the cornerstone.
Amen.
Isn't the ministry rich or not?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.